Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Thursday. Sports Bros here. I am Isaac.
Sada.
Big Sook's right over there.
Oh, dude.
Well, I got Schultz's filling in again today.
A.K.A. the Schnitzel Wolf.
Yes, because he is part German, part Native American. We have dubbed him He Who Schnitzel Wolfs.
Appreciate that. I like it. That's actually one of my more favorite ones. So.
We do have Monday Night Football starting.
We do not have Monday Night Football.
Thursday night. What is tonight?
That would be Thursday.
We have Sunday Night Football starting here in a minute.
Sunday Night Football hosted by the Monday Night Crew with the mighty matchup of the Dolphins and the Ravens.
This is the one. I can never remember which one's on Amazon. Is this one on
this
Amazon?
This one is on Amazon.
Yeah. And then Sunday's NBC and then Monday's ESPN.
You are correct,
is that
sir.
Right? Good
yes. job.
You're I am watching great. Tulane and Texas San Antonio here.
There's
good little football game.
There's no reason to watch this, but I love when
what if
Tulane,
you have money on it?
Well, then there's a reason to watch.
Thank you.
I love these Tulane unis, though.
Yeah, those are sweet.
When they do the light blue helmets and then the green jerseys or green pants, that's just, it's a good look.
All right, coming up next, Chauncey Billups. I've got a story.
We got some more deets.
Well, a little bit. We're trying to piece together how the hell he got wrapped up into what he got wrapped up into.
Yeah.
And there is a link, and it goes back to Detroit, believe it or not.
Okay. Yeah, his next appearance, November 24th is his next court appearance.
Thanksgiving. What's he going to do for Thanksgiving? Is that Thanksgiving?
I think it's a couple days before Thanksgiving, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they have court proceedings on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh, that's so, the Monday before. Okay.
My guess is he will be sitting under basically house arrest for Thanksgiving, but yeah, it'll be fine.
What do you think he's doing with his ankle monitor?
I wonder if he does have an ankle monitor on.
Yeah, did we see that in the footage when he walked out of the courthouse? I didn't catch it.
Well, he was wearing pants. I mean, I didn't see the scroll down there. But yeah, he can't go anywhere. He's basically at home. He can't travel except go to, you know, his court date. He did hire a Trump attorney, though, so smart move on him. He's going to play for that hardcore pardon.
So we'll get to that coming up next.
When in doubt, just suck up to the POTUS and you get yourself pardoned.
We have the latest on the coaching carousel at 5:30. Tonight in the club, I have bear news. We have a real-life message in a bottle, and we will talk about boredom. Mm. But first, we go back to our college football Thursday reach-around, and one other story, actually two other stories I had in here. One is a quick update, Arch Manning. So Texas has a pretty big game.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's a bigger game for Vanderbilt. But Vanderbilt is kind of an upstart hotshot team this year again, and they are going to Texas.
Texas, who's, you know, despite they have not looked good all year, they're 20th in the country and they're 6-2. And as long as you've got a two-loss team, you know, technically you're still sniffing around. Unfortunately, they have Vanderbilt, Georgia, and A&M left on their schedule. And if you've watched Texas play, I mean, they were down. That Mississippi State comeback was one of the more miraculous comebacks. They were down by like three touchdowns.
Well, they have a punt returner, and I don't remember his name, But the guy has, I think he's scored 3 touchdowns in the last 2 games.
Yeah, it's something ridiculous like that. And his return is kind of what started this Mississippi State comeback.
So Arch had to leave the game. He got a concussion. He came back in.
Yeah, it was 31-14 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and they won in overtime.
Won. Yeah.
But anyway, Arch was in concussion protocol, and now they are saying he is making progress. They're still uncertain if he'll play, but I'm guessing he'll play against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, the one I saw yesterday, Sark said he was, quote, iffy. And I'm not sure that's a real technical term, but...
Does Sark want him to play is the question.
I don't know. Like, he was good in the comeback. He was terrible in the first 3 quarters, and then it was kind of like the thing at Ohio State. Like, it's in there, but honestly, I have never seen a quarterback get more hype that has delivered less than Arch Manning at this point.
Every once in a while, he shows a flash or
once
2.
Once in a blue moon.
But it's not much.
No, he's got really bad... He doesn't know how to play the position. He's got terrible footwork, bad mechanics, bad pre-snap stuff. And yet, we were told that teams were going to tank to get Arch Manning.
So we'll find out if, Vandy's for real, though, because Texas has a defense.
Yes.
And... You know, I mean, they've got better players.
Well, the only game that Vandy lost was Alabama, and that was a slugfest. Now, Alabama kind of pulled away, but that was a close game. I think
Texas is favored.
Texas is favored in
that? Yeah, they're favored over Vanderbilt.
We just have a hard time accepting the fact that places like Vanderbilt are good and that Texas is not as good as we thought they were.
So the other story is out of LA, and that is UCLA is being sued by the city of Pasadena and the Rose Bowl because UCLA wants to break its lease and move their games to SoFi Stadium.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, the problem is no one, if you've ever been down there, the Rose Bowl is nowhere near the campus, and no one goes to the games. I mean, would anyone go to the games if they were? At SoFi?
So that's in Inglewood?
That's in Inglewood.
How close is that to the campus?
It's closer than Pasadena, and it's also easier to get to.
Well, it's a nicer stadium.
It's a nicer stadium.
Nicer amenities for your 17 fans.
Yeah. So, and now UCLA is trying to deny this and saying that, no, we weren't trying to do this. So I don't know.
I guarantee they were.
UCLA, what people have said all along is what UCLA needs to do is build an on-campus stadium that's like 35, 40,000 people.
Yeah, but they won't pay
they
for
won't
that.
Do that. UCLA is a bad. It's a bad program. It's a bad job, and the fact that they're being sued by the Rose Bowl. That's just
now. This raises a question in my pea brain. What else is at the Rose Bowl besides bowl games,
concerts, and
do they do concerts?
Yeah, they
and
do
stuff
concerts
there?
And stuff. Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
that'd be kind of a cool place to see a show, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
100,000 people.
I doubt that. You know, I'm guessing they make that a little bit smaller for concerts. But I'll look and see what what else is
do
on
do they have
there.
Any other tenants there?
I'm going to look and see the Rose Bowl calendar.
I mean, look, having been to the Rose Bowl, I will tell you, and people say this all the time, but if you haven't been, it's really hard to wrap your head around this. It is a magical place.
Yes.
But it's not really magical because of the stadium, per se.
It's just, yeah.
It's just the pageantry of the Rose Bowl game and then the... Sort of the weather and the sun going down over the mountains. Yeah. I don't know. There's something about it. It's really, really, and you feel it when you're there.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
for a place like UCLA that has no juice to it, it's probably a
terrible place to play.
Yeah. It's too big for what you need. And even when they rope off the upper part, it looks bad. Now on November 1st, there is a best friend super adoption going on at the Rose Bowl.
What are we adopting?
Dogs.
So it's used like a convention center.
Yeah. There's also a women's empowerment symposium coming there as well.
All right.
Have you thought about going to the Rose Bowl flea market?
They have a flea market there.
Yes. Actually sounds kind of cool.
Yeah. There's a Christmas light show that goes on there as well.
Oh, that makes sense.
There's the Rose Bowl turkey trot. So it's stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay.
There's holiday events and different things.
There's a golf course right next to it.
Yeah, no. I mean, but you got to admit, it's a crappy place
nothing
to
great
get
about
to.
It. Yeah, nothing great about it except for just, I don't know, it's got a magical feel.
Yeah.
But
it's only a magical feel, though, when you get
the Rose Bowl.
When you get there. Or, you know, they've had Super Bowls there.
Yeah. But I didn't go, but would the Super Bowl feel the same as the Rose Bowl there? I'm not sure it would.
Yeah, I remember, like, I mean, I'm. I know there's been more, but I remember the Cowboys won a Super Bowl against the Bills there, and I remember like the, you know, the sun going down. Yeah, it's the Rose Bowl is a great place for a big time football game, but when it's UCLA against Michigan State and there's 17,000 people there, it's brutal.
The suit accuses UCLA of a profound betrayal of trust as the university seeks to relocate its football games to SoFi Stadium. Pasadena officials claim that taxpayers have funded more than $150 million in renovations, and the city refinanced $130 million in bonds for improvements. They allege that UCLA football leaving Inglewood could cause more than $1 billion. Wait, leaving Inglewood? Maybe leaving Pasadena.
Yeah.
Could cause more than $1 billion in monetary damages to Pasadena and its residents. Oh, leaving for Inglewood.
Yeah.
The suit argues that UCLA's pursuit of money will destroy a key touchstone of the community.
Now, I thought I saw that UCLA denied this. Do we know if they, or they're planning this, or have they already said, no, we're going to SoFi?
They have, okay, so the filing includes a letter from UCLA's outside counsel, David Schrader, to Pasadena attorney Nima Mohibi.
Oh, yes.
In it, Schrader argues that the school has not breached his contract by having preliminary discussions about relocation. He also wrote that UCLA continues to evaluate strategic goals and how to fiscally be responsible and best fulfill its mission.
I think the one I saw said about potentially moving. So I think that's just the discussions. Yeah. And they're trying to do a preemptive, not so fast. By the way, I looked it up. About an hour and 20, 25 without traffic from the campus to the Rose Bowl. And it's about an hour to SoFi. So it's...
Oh, my God.
You're not... You're saving a little bit, but it's still... If from actual campus...
How far is UCLA from the... What's the USC?
The Coliseum?
Coliseum.
Oh, okay.
How That's far are they from that?
I'll take a look.
God, LA, man. All these big, unused stadiums. Like, because the Coliseum's half empty most of the time, too.
Yeah. I mean, when it's rocking, it's great, but...
You know where UCLA... When's the last time USC was rocking?
Yeah, it's been a while.
You know where UCLA... Well, the Michigan game was pretty good. I was watching that.
Yeah.
The... you know where UCLA... UCLA should play is that MLS stadium.
Yeah, that's because
that'd be cool for them.
Because that's like 30,000 people.
That's more what they need, but they would never. No, obviously they would never do that.
No,
ninnies.
Well, I mean, I understand. God, this is a pretty obvious plan by the Rose Bowl. It's like we don't want to lose our only tenant here.
Oh, for sure.
And by the way, that's where you do it. It's like 11 miles.
What is
if they were to play at the Coliseum and share it with USC?
So wow, that's even better.
It's but
right
wouldn't
there.
That be like an hour in L.A.? Yeah.
I doubt it.
11 miles? That's a long way in L.A.
It is.
Dude, I'm going to go to Google Maps.
So according to the AI, it says the 11 miles, it takes around 30 minutes. But with bad traffic conditions, it could take over an hour.
Yep, like right now, it's an hour. If we were trying to make it in between. LA,
it's an hour to everything there.
Wouldn't it just be easier to just walk? Maybe take a nice scooter. I could ride my bike in a lot less time than that.
I will say, I just pulled it up on Google Maps, and it says 42 minutes at the moment. Yeah. So,
what would be more expensive, building a new stadium or just some kind of public transportation from the UCLA campus to where you're going? I bet you it would be the public trans.
Yeah, but you...
Oh.
No,
public... Yeah, but you can't...
Yeah.
You don't have control over that.
And you'd still have to try to force people to take public transit.
Yeah, red tape sucks.
You know, they do a nice job at Dodger Stadium, though. They've got all of the little... they have the little stations there where they have the free shuttles. And it's actually pretty nice. You can... I mean, there's a bunch of different ones, and you go there, and they just have a never-ending parade of buses for free that take you to and from Dodger Stadium. And it's a way better way to go because you can't park there.
It's actually pretty neat.
In and out's a nightmare. I wonder if they do, I don't know. I don't know if they do anything like that to try to get people to the Rose Bowl, but that's obviously a lot longer.
Maybe they should go play in San Diego.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
It's just it's one of the things that will always prevent UCLA. Like when you're a big time recruit and you're showing up to a UCLA game and let's say on the West Coast, you go to Autzen Husky Stadium, and then you go down to UCLA. I mean, the game day experience just isn't, even if Reeser's jumping or in Pullman, you can't tell me that you walk into the Rose Bowl for a UCLA game and are like, man, can't wait to play in this environment. It just stinks.
Wait till we get a college football team relocate.
Just like, we're
like, screw our campus. We're going to go play in Vegas. It'd probably be better for them.
Satellite campus out there in Vegas.
Go to Vegas or San Diego.
Yeah. It's just, it's a tough sled down there at UCLA.
All right, coming up next, Chauncey Billups, how he teamed up with a career criminal. This is The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the new podcast, Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as Payne Lindsay and I are joined by other true crime experts to take a fresh look at some of the most puzzling crimes and shine a spotlight on the cases that have stumped investigators for far too long. So go right now and search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.
You're a loser.
So the New York Times had a headline today, and it read, "How Chauncey Billups Teamed Up with a Career Criminal."
Said you read the article and it did not tell us how he teamed up with a career criminal?
No.
Reporting sucks. We need to do better.
But it's not reporting. It's oftentimes
the headline writer. Writers. Yeah, Quick used to talk about this, that he'd write a piece and then he would turn it in and he'd read the headline and be like, that has nothing to do with what I wrote.
The headline writers are separate, and oftentimes I think they don't even read the articles.
Yeah, and it's just there to try to...
Yeah, they try to get clicks, and they got my click.
Gotcha.
And we did learn some things, which is why I'm talking about it. But nowhere in the article does it say how Chauncey Billups teamed up with a career criminal. Yeah. Okay, so just understand that. But we did learn some things. So the guy in question that Chauncey has been linked to is a guy by the name of Eric Spook Ernest.
Okay, that makes me uncomfortable. By the way,
he's been named. He also was arrested, and he's the guy that Chauncey is accused of giving the information about resting players to.
Sure.
Then he forwarded that on, won a bunch of money. He's also the guy that was playing in the poker game, setting up the poker games, using Chauncey as the face card.
Yeah.
Okay.
Allegedly.
Yes. All of this is alleged.
Because his attorney said that he did none of this, and he is a man of integrity.
So, this guy... Eric Ernest, he's the connection between Chauncey and the card games.
Okay.
Now, who is this guy? Well, as best they can tell, so this is where the article may be onto something. They said Spook got out of prison in February of 2019. He's a career criminal.
Okay.
I'll tell you more about him in a second. Yeah. But he got out of prison in February of 2019, and these poker games were just 2 months later. So they have deduced that these guys knew each other from Chauncey's playing days.
Okay.
Because in the article, they interview an ex-DEA agent who is now retired, who investigated Eric Ernest way back in the early 2000s, and he claims he listened to hours of wiretaps where Ernest would brag about his association with high-level athletes. Now, the problem is the ex-DEA agent can't name names because none of the athletes did anything wrong criminally.
Okay.
So he can't say who he heard Ernest talking about. But he said he heard him talking about all kinds of high-level athletes. And he said at the time, they thought that he was just full of crap.
Sure.
But he wasn't. He was running with athletes. He was running in the music business. The more they followed him, the more they
realized
learned
he actually had connections.
Yeah. So what we know about him is, Ernest, is that he has ties to the old Black Mafia family.
Okay.
Okay, so if you don't know the Black Mafia family, they are they were founded in part by a guy by the name of Terry Lee Flannery. And here's where Chance comes in. They were founded in Detroit.
Ah. So they're obviously...
Now, this is back in the 80s, though.
Okay.
But they ran a lot of cocaine through the U.S. They became a big deal because they partnered with Mexican cartels. And but they were founded in Detroit. They were in Atlanta. They were L.A. They were running drugs. Big-time criminals, okay?
Sure.
The Black Mafia family. Well, it turns out that Billups is seen in social media posts with the founder of Black Mafia family, Terry Lee Flannery.
Okay, so when you say Black Mafia, I'm assuming this is we're referring to like African American mafia. So
yeah.
This is different than the Italian mob, obviously.
Correct, yeah, there's two separate things here. Yeah, the word mafia, but these guys are all from Detroit.
Sure.
Well, Ernest is from St. Louis. So again, this is where the article does not... It doesn't really tie them together, but it does say that Chance, he's buddies with Ernest.
It gives you a loose connection.
Yeah, and Ernest is, even though he's from St. Louis, these guys, Terry Lee Flannery, he's from Detroit, and they're thinking that perhaps because Ernest was tied in with Black Mafia family in the early 2000s or late 90s when Chauncey was playing, Ernest's connections to athletes like Chance introduced him to this Flannery character and all these Black Mafia guys.
I can see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
because obviously they know each other somehow. You're trying to piece it together, and this kind of seems like the obvious avenue of how they got to know each other.
So Terry Lee Flannery was sentenced to 30 years in prison back in 2008.
Okay.
He has since been granted clemency by Joe Biden.
Oh.
Sleepy Joe.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
He was let out
soft on crime
during COVID in 2020, and he has supposedly finished his sentence on house arrest.
Okay.
So this does tie Chauncey to serious
criminals.
To serious criminals. So Ernest is a career felon. He's done several stints in the slammer. Billups follows Ernest's wife and daughter on social media, and again, he was in the Black Mafia family, which was founded by Terry Lee Flannery, which was founded in Detroit, who then was pictured with Chauncey Billups. Mm. So that, it's pretty loose.
Yeah.
But there you can see how Chauncey got tied into these games. Now, what this doesn't talk about at all is how any of this ties to the Italian mafia.
Sure.
So we don't know that. But what I think is maybe more plausible, just spitballing here,
sure,
is that this Ernest guy and this Terry Lee Flannery, this goes way back to Chauncey's Detroit days.
They got their beaks in a lot of different
they dragged pies. Chauncey into deep water.
Sure.
And how the Italian mafia is a part of this, maybe sure, they just partnered up for these games. Because I remember the original article, what was that article? It was one of the original pieces of reporting on this whole poker thing, was that the Italian mob never really... They would run poker games that were on the up and up.
Yeah, they would run illegal poker games. They just were...
They weren't fixed.
They weren't fixed.
But then the Italian mob then kind of infiltrated its way into these fixed games. So perhaps the Ernests and the Terry Lee Flannerys and the Chance Billups didn't have any say in the Italian mob saying, hey, we want a cut of this over here.
Yeah, right. It's like I can totally see where you're being used to set up these poker games. You know, Hollywood had their own issue with this. Remember... it was like Tobey Maguire and Leo DiCaprio and a bunch of these guys were playing in illegal poker games, and they got caught up in this a number of years ago. I can totally see where you're running with some guys. Next thing you know, you're playing some high stakes poker, you know, and it's illegal. But, you know, you're just there. And the next thing you know, you're like, well, if you're doing that, what's taking it a step further? And now we're going to make sure that everyone wins. You know, I can see that. I can see how you end up down those.
Or he may not even know that the Italian mob's in on it.
Sure, who knows?
But he knows that Ernest is and they're buddies. So that is the tie-in of Chance to what is called the Black Mafia family. And it does raise a question, as somebody pointed out on the text line, does this mean Chauncey has been doing this since he was a player? The question is there because it goes back to his time in Detroit.
Yeah. I will say that a lot of times when people get caught up with stuff, it is people that they've known for a long time, right? Remember Zach Randolph, a lot of that stuff went back to Zach's days. And was it Gary, Indiana, right? And his brother all that. And you know, it's hard to leave behind people that you've known for a long time. And maybe this isn't people that he grew up with, but if you're a young player in the league and you're getting your feet wet and next thing you know, you're kind of running in the wrong circles and you've known a guy for 20 years, you know, that's usually how stuff like this happens. Or as Chauncey would say, I'm completely innocent and I'm a man of integrity. So I hope that eventually all this stuff gets flushed out and we get a better idea of how all this stuff came together. But I think that article, while a bit misleading there, it does kind of give you a roadmap and you can see a plausible way about how all this happened.
It's some info on a couple of players that we know Chauncey was tied to.
And look, I had very, very little experience in the NFL. So, I mean, when you're Chauncey Billups and you're a Hall of Fame basketball player, the amount of dudes that you're exposed to, but in my brief little time and getting to hang around guys that were actually successful and big names, the amount of hanger honors or just guys that are around you and the riffraff and a lot of the NBA guys have talked about now, like the amount of gambling that just goes on team planes. Joey Harrington talked about, you know, guys betting $50,000-$75,000 on airplane rides in the NFL. In Tampa, the big thing was strip clubs. And I got to go a couple times with some of the more established players. And those guys would walk into strip clubs and just the amount of guys and like the girls would swarm them. And guys that I assure you were not legitimate business guys, they were always there too. And they always knew them. And they would buy like cars through them or they would get drugs to them. Or a lot of times the women would be waiting for them. I watched a guy walk into a Mons Venus, which was like the big strip club in Tampa. And that dude walked in, met one guy who was wearing a fur coat, by the way. And that was in the middle of Tampa, which I was like, my God, seems a little warm. But he had on his fur coat, talked to that dude for like 5 minutes and then like made a lap and they got like six of the hottest girls. And then him and the fur coat guy just like left. And they had like the VIP table set up for him. And I don't know what all happened, but they were there for just a few minutes and then they were gone. And then we were like, well, I guess we're just at this table. And again, what those guys were doing, I don't know, but I don't think it was like playing Monopoly. So I just think when you're in that lifestyle, I just think you're exposed to a lot of dudes. And I don't think those guys are necessarily the best human beings in the world.
Another text said, or Chance just got invited to play and had no clue they were scamming.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's going to claim that, and his lawyer already is, but they're not going to arrest him if that were the case. What that means is they have evidence proving otherwise, and there's already stuff out there about how they were going about this, and sometimes Chance was asked to win, sometimes he was asked to fold, so he knew that other people knew what the cards were. Maybe I don't know if he was the one who knew what the cards were, but there were, reportedly, it was set up so that this Eric Ernest guy or whatever, or whoever else was running the game, they knew what the cards were and they would signal to Chance what to do.
Well, and there was the interview with the professional poker player from years ago that was like, yeah, I knew of all these games that were set up, rigged games around Chauncey Billups. And this is the danger stuff. And I get it. If you're a Blazer fan and you're a Chauncey guy, you want to believe that your guy is innocent. But
they're going to have to prove it.
Yeah. It's the most adorable thing in the world to think For years and years and years, Chauncey Billups was involved in high-stake illegal poker games and didn't know, and was being used as the guy to bring in other players. But Chauncey was, I had no idea.
We've already seen text evidence to the contrary.
I don't know what you're talking about. I just thought we were just playing some friendly game of cards with Albanian Bruce and Pookie.
Yeah, you're talking about Damon Jones text?
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
it's just...
Like,
it's
they
just,
were happy to lose to him.
They were on his phone, it's just, Damon Jones' phone, where they were saying, they were telling him, watch LeBron, watch Steph. These guys had names.
Oh, no, this is different. This is text with Pookie, Sophia, saying that these guys were, it was about a poker game, saying they were so happy to lose to Chauncey Billups. So there's those text messages out
there. Well, but that doesn't prove he knew it. But again, the FBI's going to have to, the feds, they're going to have to prove he knew, but I don't think they arrest him in the way that they did without evidence of sort.
Innocent until proven guilty, but I am always just flabbergasted at the amount of fanboys that that will jump through so many hoops and the mental gymnastics to believe that their guy, he was the only guy in the midst of this mafia like racketeering scheme, but he just was sweet and innocent. He was a patsy.
Well, that's what he'll say.
Oh, yeah.
You know how they do it. They're already angling that way.
I was doing nothing. Nothing, I tell you.
Well, he did hire former Trump lawyer Mark Mukasey.
That's the best thing he can do, because that way, if he does get convicted, you just go for the presidential pardon.
Yeah, so...
That's the P. Diddy approach.
He's clearly angling.
And I'm reading those texts again, man. No, he was asked to lose in one of these from Sophie. So I would say that proves, Chauncey, you knew something, bud.
No, I was just doing Pookie a favor. What are you talking about?
What?
His wife loves that he's talking to the escort / professional poker hot Pookie.
Yeah, he's been married for a long time, huh?
Yeah.
You think his wife loves the ankle bracelet?
I don't think
so. Kind of hot?
No, I'm guessing not. Yeah. It's a beautiful family, too. He's got a beautiful wife, couple pretty gals, and the kids and all that.
Couple pretty gals? What is he, girlfriend lives
with him? No, his daughters. It's a
daughters.
It's a Walmart sort of, like, picture frame family. It's a, like, he's got this beautiful family and, like, everything. He's made all this money and...
Did I read something today
fell
that...
Fell in love with the Pook.
I don't know who the... Well, there's no evidence that they were stupid, right?
There is none of that.
No.
That was just the game.
As of right now.
But what was I going to say? Oh, did I read something today that one of the Blazers said they had no idea he gambled?
It's possible.
I heard Ty Lue said that, I think.
Oh, Ty Lue.
Something. Well, yeah, no, that's no not idea. True because Ty Lue was at the poker games with him. So
Ty Lue's also the guy that said that Chauncey Billups is doing great.
Great guy.
Great guy. He feels so confident about everything. And it's also the same crew, remember, that when the dogfighting thing came up, it was only Quintel Woods. Just no one else. No one else. Hey, they successfully managed to get that, you know. They managed to pin that solely on Quintel Woods, so I don't think the feds were involved in that one, though. I think that was more of a local sort
of thing. Wild story, guys.
Yeah.
Coming up next, the latest buzz from the college coaching carousel. Here's Schulte.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the new podcast, Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as Payne Lindsay and I are joined by other true crime experts to take a fresh look at some of the most puzzling crimes and shine a spotlight on the cases that have stumped investigators for far too long. So go right now and search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought you were saying more.
Hi, I'm a balloon. Bye.
Possibly the Schnitzel Wolf in there.
Schnitzel Wolf. Got his headband on today. What's looking up, hot.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
Expired.
Yes, the Mariners season is expired. That is true.
Does it make you feel better? The Blue Jays are winning?
I think I said this yesterday. It takes some of the sting away. It doesn't take the sadness away.
Huh.
Especially that 18-inning game. It was like, okay, I get it.
That's unsuckable.
Okay. Got the latest buzz from the college coaching carousel.
It's a wild carousel. Although Matt Rhule's off of it now.
Yeah, he jumped off, fell down.
Because he's done so much to earn that extension.
Well, you know, if he beats USC this weekend.
Think about that. In 3 years, your crowning achievement is beating this USC team.
But I tell you, if he beats USC this weekend, you're going to hear a lot of Nebraska's back.
Nebraska is not good.
I hate this team.
Do not listen to anyone telling you that Nebraska is back. Not only is Nebraska, I've seen Nebraska play this year a couple times. Not only are they 6-2 with losses to Michigan and Minnesota took them behind the woodshed. I'd also like to point out that their wins outside of Akron and Holy Christian or whatever. They beat Cincinnati by 3. They beat Maryland by 3. Hey. They squeezed out Northwestern by 6. They're beating bad teams.
Whoa. Like, Cincinnati's good.
By a sliver.
I mean, isn't like Cincinnati 15th or something? Top, are they top?
They are 7-1, I believe, yeah. 17th in the country.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, that's not a bad team. But anyway, the latest buzz is from ESPN. They had an article on this, mm-hmm. and they have an unnamed agent mm-hmm. and a couple of other people that obviously don't name themselves, but they are spitting on the buzz, bro.
Okay.
And they said that Lane Kiffin, it's quite possible everything we think to be true about Lane Kiffin mm-hmm. is true in that he could have his choice between LSU and Florida.
Sure.
That could very well be going down right now.
Yeah.
And they said for the SEC schools, after Lane, it's Eli Drinkwitz. Mm-hmm. It's the likes of Jeff Brohm, who's doing a pretty good job at Louisville, and Rhett Lashley, the guy at SMU.
SMU. So these are all the names that we've kind of heard.
Now, the interesting name, and Bartu texted me this right when it first happened. When everybody was talking about Cignetti to Penn State, mm-hmm. he mentioned this guy, and this is backed up by this ESPN article. The anonymous agent said that it's possible that Mike Elko right now is deciding between Texas A&M and Penn State.
Really?
That's right. He's from, I think he's from Pennsylvania or played at Penn State. I can't remember. It's one of the other, but he has
Boy,
ties
wouldn't
there.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, and they're undefeated if you haven't followed Texas A&M. They're undefeated.
He,
and
he played at Penn.
Top five. Yeah,
so not Penn State.
He's from Pennsylvania.
And he was, I'm looking here. He never coached at Penn State, but he did coach at Penn, and he played there. So obviously he's got ties to that area.
Yeah, Bartu was all over that one. And then,
boy, if you're A&M, how about that?
That would hurt.
You finally get a guy that's putting together a magical season for you, and he just tips his cap and says, oof. Hey, I'll tell you what.
Would you go to Penn State?
Yes. Yes.
Over A&M?
I think right now, if you are looking for stability, I would much rather be in the Big Ten. The SEC, you cannot compile resources. There's just too many good teams, too many good recruiters. And if you go to the Big Ten, look, you really only have to contend with two right now big powers, Ohio State and Oregon. Maybe Michigan comes back up. But people forget that before Jim Harbaugh had that one, well, actually it was kind of a two-year run, Michigan was kind of an afterthought. Right. And so I'm not certain that Sherrod Moore gets Michigan back to where they were. Maybe Penn State rises up, but if you take the Penn State job, that's on you. Wisconsin has fallen on some harder times. I'm not believing in Nebraska. There just isn't. Do you think Cignetti has staying power? I don't know. But if you grab Penn State, you are going to be no worse than the third best recruiter in that conference. If you stay at A&M, dude, you're the second best recruiter even in your state. You have to deal with Texas. You have to deal with LSU. You have to deal with Bama. You got to deal with Florida. There's just, I would much rather, all things being equal, play the Penn State schedule and play the Big Ten schedule than I would dinking around down in LSU type country where you're one bad season away from getting your ass fired. I given the choice, I think Penn State in this culture is a better job than Texas A&M.
So after this article said, after Elko, if Elko chooses to stay at A&M, mm-hmm. Watch out for Vanderbilt's Clark Lee for Happy Valley.
Yeah.
So,
And I know Wisconsin can't, it doesn't sound like Wisconsin has the money to buy out Luke Fickell. If I was Wisconsin, I would try to fire him and go hire James Franklin. I just think James Franklin's a good coach. I know he didn't win a national title at Penn State, and he probably won't win a national title at Nebraska or Wisconsin, but Wisconsin doesn't really expect to win national championships. And if I'm James Franklin, I'll win 9 games every year in Wisconsin, go to Rose Bowl every now and then, and they'll call me a hero. Because I don't know where James Franklin's name, I think it's interesting that his name, after what he did at Vandy and then up at Penn State, he's been an excellent coach. I have not heard a whisper of James Franklin's name at any of these jobs.
Well, I think why that is, he's mentioned in here, and I'll get to that when we come back, but I think why that is they're laying out kind of a hierarchy where the schools, the big boy schools, are going to go first, and they want to pull coaches from other schools that are already winning, see Lincoln and see Mike Elko, see Clark Lee. After that, it becomes the James Franklins, or can I pull a G5 guy, or is it a Will Stein, a coordinator? So Franklin isn't going to get a job or be mentioned until the dominoes fall to his lap. You know what I mean? Like he's on this pecking order, but he's got to wait a bit.
Because he said he wants to coach. Like, he does not want to take time off.
Yeah, but he also wants to win he wants to win a championship.
Yeah, and maybe the Wisconsins don't appeal to him.
Yeah, so we'll get to that next. We have the latest on Will Stein. We have the latest on, there's a name-generating buzz for the Stanford job. From this article,
there's another name out there that I haven't heard, and maybe this is something. And again, I don't know where he's at, but David Shaw, is out there that I'm surprised.
What is Shaw doing?
I thought he was doing some consulting in the NFL, and maybe he's just happy to be in the NFL. But you want to talk about a guy that knows how to win with tough circumstances around him? I would.
He is the passing game coordinator of the Detroit Lions.
Okay. Like, and so he probably isn't interested in kind of a, I'm not going to say it's a throwaway job, but like, that's one, like, if you want to talk about like a retread that I would go and kick the tires on, I just think the world of David Shaw.
Yeah, I just wonder what he thinks about the new
landscape. Yeah, he may not want anything to do with this crap.
All right, we'll get to that. Wrap it up next. On the Fan.
Saw this 20 minutes ago on 3. Athletic director at LSU, Scott Woodward, not going to be back.
Yeah, so, they fired him.
Yeah, they're expected to part ways.
Well, the governor neutered him.
Yeah. Well, this is what I said about like Scott Barnes at Oregon State. When there's that much noise and everyone hates you, just realize that it's not a good fit. Like, why do you want a job where like everyone associated with your school hates you? Like, you can't come back from that. So Scott Barnes needs to sit down and come up with an exit strategy, get a buyout or something, sit down with the powers that be and be like, everyone knows I need to move on. Let's make sure that I'm treated fairly and just part ways. Because the Scott Woodward thing wasn't going to work. It wasn't working. And Scott Barnes not working isn't going to work. So stop with your dumb committee there that you've put together to try to save face. No one wants you in your job. And when your job is basically community outreach and the entire community gives you the finger, it's time to go.
Woodward, he hired Chris Peterson at Washington. He also hired Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M and Brian Kelly at LSU.
Yeah.
So, but he did hire a championship baseball coach at LSU and a championship women's basketball coach at LSU. So it's a mixed bag.
There's only one sport in Louisiana and most places that matters. And that's
football. I know. And look, the Brian Kelly hire when he got him was actually
everyone thought it was great,
a really good hire at the time.
100%.
So my point is, it sounds like Scott Woodward's a pretty good AD, and it'll be interesting to see where he lands.
Yeah.
A school will probably be lucky to get him if they get him.
And that's what I say about, I don't know. You know, Scott Barnes has made some decent hires, and he's pointed that out too, that some of the coaches that he's hired have done a nice job. And I'm not saying he's the world's worst AD. There's just times where a marriage, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person or that your wife is a bitch. It just means that you shouldn't be married. And Scott Barnes in Oregon State, and I'm not pointing fingers. I told you, you dumb bitch! It's not a good marriage. And it's time for you. We need to sit down and be like, hey, Scott.
God, you're the worst.
We should just be friends. And by friends,
bitch.
That means never speak again, but we don't wish ill upon each other. Here's some alimony. And good luck on Tinder. And go find a sexy new school. Go
Google me, bitch.
I'll bet you, like, New Mexico's flirting with you. Or, you know, what else is it? Like, maybe Fresno State. I hear the Valley is great this time of year. Go explore. You know, go feel up a couple different universities and get it out of your system and then maybe settle in to a nice long relationship. But it's not working out in Corvallis.
So wrapping up the coaching carousel rumors, this is from ESPN. Oklahoma State has their eye on Eric Morris of North Texas,
okay,
former Cowboys assistant and now head coach at South Florida.
See, I think that would be
Alex Golsh.
Yeah, either one of those, by the way, like that's where I wish Oregon State would be at, but unfortunately, the Oklahoma States of the world are sniffing in that circle, so you're going to have to kind of go
that
a
guy
run below that.
That guy at USF looks pretty good. Alex Golsh.
Yeah.
He looks pretty good. Yeah. Their team is good.
Yes.
And he when I said that as Cowboys assistant, like Dallas Cowboys, he was an Oklahoma State assistant at one time, so yeah. He has ties there. Also, Falcons offensive coordinator Zach Robinson, who played quarterback at Oklahoma State, is getting some buzz.
I remember him.
At Arkansas, it sounds like it's Bobby Petrino, but Rhett Lashley, the SMU guy, could be a possibility. He played at Arkansas and was a GA there.
Yeah.
He may not leave SMU to go to Arkansas. That may be a bad move for him. Actually, I think that would be a bad move for him. See your point about Elko.
Yeah.
And then the name generating the most buzz at Stanford, according to ESPN, is Tavita Pritchard, who spent 12 years there as an assistant. He is currently the quarterback's coach of the Washington Commanders.
And long time. I remember him as I remember covering him as a collegiate quarterback back in the day. So
I think he was the quarterback who Jim Harbaugh led to the biggest upset.
I think it was him.
Didn't they beat USC?
USC when they were favored by, you know, whatever, 30 something points.
So they're looking at an in-house. Well, he's not in-house right now, but, you know, he's a Stanford guy, Tavita Pritchard. Yeah. A few wrenches in the whole coaching carousel are, as you mentioned, James Franklin. The other guy that's out there that's a former coach that got fired, but he has now settled his wrongful termination suit, that's a pretty good coach, is Pat Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently he's sitting out there and wanting to get back into the game. So the fired coaches who want work are also out there. Here's another name ESPN said watch out for, because Wisconsin is probably going to have an opening. UCLA has an opening, but they're way down the pecking order, or even Stanford, and that is Dave Aranda from Baylor.
Oh,
because he may lose his job,
yeah,
or he may want to jump ship.
Just to land on some more stable footing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so then they said,
this carousel, there is a lot of, you know, there's a lot of one, there's some really good, but then there's a bunch of other just kind of solid jobs. Like you mentioned, Arkansas and Virginia Tech and Stanford. I mean, there's just a lot of opportunity out there.
It is a robust carousel.
Which, by the way, might make it hard for some of the lesser schools, because you're going to have to get in line. You may have to get a little more creative with your search.
Yeah, so they're saying that if the Power Four coaches don't jump at some of these gigs, the top group of five guy is John Summerall.
Mm-hmm.
He's at Tulane.
See, and
they're getting their butt whipped right now.
But yeah, I know. It's not going well, which is
that
weird.
Quarterback, your BYU guy?
The BYU?
Retzlaff? Yeah. He's at Tulane now?
Yes.
He sucks.
Well, he's actually having a really nice year.
Dude, have you watched him tonight?
No.
Terrible.
I got the Dolphins and the Ravens on my screen.
But I bet against him, so I'm happy.
Oh, right.
But yeah, what else?
That would seem to be like, if you want to go someone in your backyard, like, and this is where I'm saying, like, if LSU... No offense, but if you don't land the Lane Kiffin or whatever, there's nothing wrong. When you look at some of the guys that have been really successful, there's nothing wrong with going down a rung. Let me point out, like, Jim Tressel is one of the great modern day coaches that we've ever seen. Jim Tressel went to, 10 straight BCS games and played in two or three national championships, won a national title, by the way, by beating arguably the greatest college football team of all time in that Miami team. And I believe Jim Tressel came from Youngstown State. Urban Meyer was Bowling Green to Utah to Florida. Last time I checked, that worked out pretty well. I mean, there are a lot. Kalen DeBoer, Fresno State to UW, doorstep of a national championship, now at Alabama, got him into a top five. Like, I just think sometimes these big name programs fall in love with, you know, well, we have to go get a guy that has that's at Ole Miss. We got to go steal the other SEC coach. I've never understood why there's such trepidation about going down and finding someone that's a really good coach at a smaller level.
Will Stein's name has dimmed.
Yeah.
ESPN is reporting to watch out for his name should Kentucky move on from Mark Stoops, or if Jeff Brohm leaves Louisville. Will Stein, I think, coached or played at Louisville.
He played at Louisville.
Played there, yeah. So they said if Will Stein is going to move this cycle, it may be one of those two schools. Oh, and Flight Tracker saw the Razorback Foundation jet take off today and travel northwest toward Colorado, which means prime to Arkansas.
Boy, can we all now admit that the prime thing is over? Like, Colorado is back to being totally irrelevant, that it was a fun little story, and the height of the Dion craze was getting your ass kicked in the Alamo Bowl.
Hey, tell Arkansas that.
I guess.
They sent the jet for him today.
That dude's got, like, serious health problems.
Hope they have a bathroom on that thing.
Yeah, why would anyone, well, it's a private jet, why would anyone sniff around that? I don't understand that. And the other name that isn't brought up, and because you mentioned kind of the lawsuit and settled the Pat Fitzgerald thing, and he settled all that. And can't we admit now that maybe this was a bit harsh at the time? Nick Rolovich.
Yeah.
If you're Oregon State, again, don't outthink the room. What do I mean? Younger guy, because Rolovich is my age. I played against him in Hawaii, so he's 47, 48.
What?
Runs a really fun offense, the air raid, slings it all around. Great offenses. They were all excited about him at Washington State. Supposedly the players love him. And the only thing he did wrong was he refused to do the COVID thing. And at the time, it was very controversial, but now we've moved past that, and a lot of people tend to agree with him on that, whatever side you come in on that. And I think he's now like an analyst, if I'm not mistaken, down at Cal.
That is correct.
Doing something down there. And that would be a guy that I think would be very enthusiastic about getting to helm another program. Pullman to Corvallis, kind of a similar vibe there. Hey, Oregon State. What's Nick Rolovich doing? And he's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. And
it's amazing
maybe,
the
just
way
maybe,
I don't hear any applause for that.
Some of the stain on Rolovich, maybe some programs would shy away from him. So maybe that's a guy that you could actually hold on to, even if he does a nice job there for a while. So instead of going down the, well, he's got beaver ties. I just think there's really good candidates, and it drives me nuts that I don't hear the push for seemingly guys that, at least to me, make sense at Oregon State. And we're getting the old, let's wait for Jonathan Smith to get fired, or, you know, the Ed Ogeron publicly clamoring for that job.
There's a lot of stupid people in this country running things.
Okay, coming up next in the club, message in a bottle. Japanese bears are seeing red.
Uh-oh.
And we discuss boredom.
Don't ask the BTJ. She'll tell you that the Japanese bears are better.
Whoops. This is the fan. Shut off my mic on accident. This is the fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the new podcast, Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as Payne Lindsay and I are joined by other true crime experts to take a fresh look at some of the most puzzling crimes and shine a spotlight on the cases that have stumped investigators for far too long. So go right now and search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.